بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. إن شاء الله تعالى we'll resume the classes now and we're going to go for the tafsir of Surah Al-Baqarah, the explanation of Surah Al-Baqarah, and we have reached verse 156. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. In the name of Allah, the Most Beneficent, the Most Merciful, I testify that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is Allah's true slave and messenger. May Allah's salah and salam be upon the noble prophets and the believers of his family, and the noble companions and those who follow on their path until the day of resurrection. We continue the explanation of Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2 of the Noble Quran, based upon the explanation by our Shaykh Muhammad bin Salih Al-Uthaymeen, رحمه الله تعالى. May Allah's mercy be upon him. قال الله تعالى ولنبلونكم بشيء من الخوف والجوع ونقص من الأموال والأنفس والثمرات وبشر الصابرين الذين إذا أصابتهم مصيبة قالوا إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. The translation of the meaning: what's have 155? قال الله تعالى, and we will try you with something of fear, hunger, loss of wealth, lives and fruits, but give tidings to as-sabirin. As-sabirin, patient and perseverant ones, who, when afflicted with calamity, they say, "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un." Truly to Allah we belong, and truly to Him we shall return. These are five calamities, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asserted by three ways of assertion in this. First, he said, subhanahu wa ta'ala, we shall test you with something of fear. This something may indicate that it may be little, but it also could be great as well. The first he mentioned is fear. And this covers both the general fear and the specific or particular fear. The general fear, for example, that the entire country or Muslim land be threatened by an enemy. And the particular fear, a person may be afflicted from within or by someone else who may frighten him and threat him. Now, hunger. Hunger is a state when one's belly is empty of food. While being eager to have it, the opposite is to have it full, and it has causes. Having little food or having little means of acquiring it from money or so forth. The third is a person may be inflicted with an illness which affects his appetite, or to a blockage in his throat or down the stream to the stomach, or through ulcerations in the stomach, or the like. Actually, no one can really comprehend hunger except the one who goes through it. In fact, rather all the calamities are not well comprehended, the effects of which also not comprehended except by those who are afflicted with it and who taste it. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the third one, the third calamity, and this is loss of wealth. And this covers the money in form of currencies, belongings, animals, cattle, you name it. And then the fourth one is lives, like the epidemics which may destroy nations, like the plague and so forth. And fruits produced from different fruit trees. Calamities may inflict these such that they will be less produced or even be destroyed. These are the five calamities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned as being a test, a trial. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, after mentioning this, an innovation to the testing in that, but give glad tidings to as-sabirin. Give glad tidings to as-sabirin. This is seeking help through patience. Tells us, and here the glad tidings concerning patience tells us of the merit of patience. Like the saying of Allah in the same surah in chapter 2, verse 45, وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِعِينَ. And seek help in patience and salah. And truly it is extremely heavy and hard except for al-khashi'in, those true believers who obey Allah with full submission and fear His punishment and believe in His promise and His warnings. Ahlul ilm, the people of knowledge, said that as-sabru thalathatu anwa'. Patience is of three types. And this is by way of deduction from the textual proofs, from the Quran and or the authentic Sunnah. The first is patience on the obedience to Allah. Second is patience on avoiding disobedience and keeping away from sins. And the third is patience on the pre-decrees of Allah. As-sabru ala ta'atillah, number one. The second, as-sabru an ma'siyatillah. And the third, as-sabru ala aqdarillah. Patience on the obedience to Allah, patience on avoiding, keeping away from sin, and the third is patience on the pre-decrees of Allah. The most difficult and most superior of them all is the first one. The most difficult and most superior in merit is the first one, patience on obedience to Allah. Because it involves two things. It involves action, al-fi'l, fi'l, acting, and relinquishing, avoiding. Acting, meaning doing the act of obedience, and restraining the self from laxing towards that, and restraining the self so as not to relinquish the obedience. However, the second type, which is patience on avoiding the sin, there is only restrainment in there. Sometimes, though, it may be difficult on the self. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ considered the young person, the youth, in the example of that young man invited by a woman of high rank and beauty to do the illegal sexual relationship, when he said, "Inni akhafu Allah," verily I fear Allah, the Prophet ﷺ considered him in the rank of the just imam, whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shades him in his shade when there is no shade except his, although the just imam in merit is higher, because there is a strong drive in the youth, and the woman was a woman of rank and beauty, and they were in seclusion. But his response was, "Inni akhafu Allah," but rather, "I fear Allah." This type here of patience may be harder than most of acts of obedience, but we are not talking about certain specific matters. We talk about the subject in its entirety. So the sabr, the patience on the obedience, is more meritorious than the sabr on avoiding the ma'asiyah, the sin. And the latter one, which is the patience in avoiding the sin, has more merit than that on patience concerning the pre-decrees of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because man, relevant to the latter one, meaning the pre-decrees, has no choice in repelling the pre-decree of Allah. Yet even then, the person may still have some difficulty, and even a great one, in dealing with the pre-decrees. But again and again, we are not talking about the patience and the perseverance of a particular person. You know, we know in fact that a person may find the loss of some beloved one, from a son or a wife and the like, and this could be even more severe on him than many acts of obedience, in the sense of the human influence and reaction psychologically. Concerning the patience on the three decrees of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one should remember that the three decrees are inevitable. They are going to take place whether you be patient or not. If you complain, if you regret, would your sorrow be lifted, or would your sorrow rather lift the pre-decree? The answer is no. And that's why some of the righteous with the sisters, some of the Salaf, rahimahumullah, said, either you be patient like the honorable ones, or you be like the animal. This is concerning the three types of sabr. Concerning this verse, therefore, there is testing and trials, and there is glad tidings for the patient ones. And that the person, or rather the people, as a whole, can be divided into two types concerning patience, in relation to patience. The first type is the patient ones. The second are the discontent ones, those who express displeasure and complaint. And it came in the hadith, whoever is content, then he will have content, and whoever complains and discontent, he will be discontent. This hadith is reported by At-Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah and Al-Shaykh Al-Albani rahimahullah said concerning its narration that it is hasan, it is good. So he graded it as good hadith. So patience on calamities is obligatory, is wajib. And the ulama had mentioned that the person afflicted or people afflicted with calamities react in different ways. These can be classified as four. Number one, displeasure and complaint. And this is unlawful. The second is as-sabr, patience. And the third is contentment. And the fourth is ash-shukr, gratitude. So they are displeasure, patience, contentment, and ash-shukr, gratitude. Concerning the first one, which is called at-tasakhut, displeasure and complaint, discontent, this is unlawful. It is not permitted for the person to be displeased and discontent with the pre-decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not in his heart, nor on his tongue, or by his actions. This is from the kaba'ir al-dhunub, from the major sins. قال النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said in the hadith reported by Imam al-Bukhari in the Book of Funerals, he said, ليس منا من ضرب الخدود حق الجيوب ودعا بدعوى الجاهلية. He who slaps his cheeks, tears his clothes, or calls to or follows the ways of the tradition of the days of ignorance of the pre-Islamic era is not from us. This does not mean, on the other hand, that the person cannot be sad, and that he is the same under calamity or in its absence, and that he is not to feel the intensity of the calamity and be sad, no, but rather he is called to persevere and be patient. And to this effect we can understand the saying of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام regarding his son Ibrahim when he died, إن العين تدمع, verily the eye shed tears, والقلب يحزن, and the heart is saddened, ولا نقول إلا ما يرضي ربنا, but we don't say except that which pleases our Lord. وَإِنَّ بِفِرَاقِكَ يَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ لَمَحْزُونُونَ, and in your departure, O Ibrahim, we are saddened. This is in Sahih al-Bukhari, in the book of Janaiz, the book of funeral, as well as in Sahih Muslim. The second reaction is as-sabr, patience, that the person feels the pain of the patience of the calamity, and the situation is not the same to him before or after. Before it's existing and after it's existing, it's the same. No, rather he feels it, but he doesn't say except that which pleases Allah. He doesn't say that which angers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he doesn't do what angers him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is mandatory, this is obligatory, it's a must that the person be patient, and it is not allowed for him to express or show or utter discontent or displeasure, neither in his heart nor by his sayings nor by his limbs or actions. The third situation is ar-rida, contentment, content with the pre-decree of Allah, content with this calamity that befell him. And the difference between being patient and being content is, in the condition of patience, the person feels the pain of the calamity in his heart. However, he does not express discontent in any way, neither in his saying nor in his heart or his actions, but he goes through pain. However, he is patient as not to do that which displeases Allah. This is with respect to the patient situation. As with respect to the contentment state, in that he does not go in pain. Meaning the presence of this calamity and its absence to him, knowing that it is from Allah, he does not feel in his heart the pain or sorrow. And it is known that this is much higher than the first situation. As to the fourth one, which is ash-shukr, gratitude. Gratitude on this calamity. However, we can say, how does a person be thankful for a calamity that touches him and affect him? The answer is, first, these calamities could be hastened punishments for sins which he had done. So he thanks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he hastened the punishment on these sins in this life before the next one. Secondly, he may consider it in light of that which could be even much greater in magnitude. So he compares it, that this calamity in this life, concerning this life, he compares it to that which could be in his deen, in his religion, and thus it would be much lighter. So therefore, he thanks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah did not make his calamity in that which is more severe, meaning in his deen. Thirdly, he thanks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by anticipating the reward, because the more the calamity is, the more the reward is. That's why it is mentioned that some worshipping woman, a worshipping woman, was touched by a calamity, and nothing of discontent showed on her. And when she was approached and asked about that, she said, إِنَّ حَلَاوَةَ أَجْرِهَا أَنْفَتْنِي مَرَارَةَ صَبْرِهَا. The sweetness of its reward made me forget the bitterness of being patient on it. So he thanks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala therefore for the reward, which would be much more than he may expect. These are the four stations that we people fall in with respect to patience and with respect to calamities, I mean. And from their qualities, the patient ones is that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned when he said in this verse, الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Those when afflicted with calamity will say, truly to Allah we belong, and truly to Him we shall return. In all of our affairs we care with each other. So we hope that that which touched us by this calamity, when we return to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He will reward us with something much better. So in this case, they have combined the attestation to Allah's Lordship when they said Inna Lillah, truly to Allah, and with the attestation and belief in the reward, all of which will necessitate the righteous work. So to Him we shall return, we belong to Him. So we hope for His reward, knowing that He did that which is in His kingdom and in His hands. So they refer the whole thing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their hearts and on their tongues. And this is from the completion and perfection of patience. When people are touched by calamities, is to say with belief and attestation in the heart, truly to Allah we belong and truly to Him we shall return. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. And also to say that which came in the Sunnah. Allahumma ajirni fi musibati. Allahumma ajirni fi musibati. O Allah, give me a reward in my calamity. وَخْلُفْ لِي خَيْرًا مِّنْهَا. Meaning, bring forth to me something better than it. Anyone who says this, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him reward and will give him something better. And the evidence is in the story of Ummu Salama. May Allah be pleased with her. She used to love her husband Aba Salama. She loved him so much. Most beloved to her. And when he died, she already was taught by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam this dua. She heard this dua from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam, Allahumma ajirni fi musibati wakhluf li khayran minha. O Allah, give me reward in my calamity and bring forth to me something better than that. So she said, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Truly to Allah we belong and truly to Him we shall return. Allahumma ajirni fi musibati. O Allah, give me reward in my calamity. Bring forth to me something better than it. While saying within herself, who is better than Abi Salama? Who is better than him? And you know whom? Who was the one who was better than Abu Salama that took Salama in marriage? You know who? Allah gave her better than Abu Salama. He gave her the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So the believer, when he says this out of conviction, anticipating the reward Allah will give him, the reward that will give him even better than the calamity that he was touched with. We are slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, creation of His, possessed by Him, under His running of affairs. He does what He wishes in line of His knowledge, wisdom, justice and mercy. Those people who are patient, those people who deal with these calamities in these ways, those who react in content and say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, truly to Allah we belong and truly to Him we shall return, Allah even mentioned more about them. In the next verse, He described them by saying, أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتٌ مِّنْ رَبِّهِمْ وَرَحْمَةٌ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُهْتَدُونَ. They are those on whom are the salawat, the blessings from their Lord. And they are those who receive His mercy. And it is they who are the guided ones. meaning those who were touched by these calamities, who were tested by these calamities, Allah will praise them and mention them. This is His salah upon them in the most high place in paradise because of their rank. And this praise is from his mercy subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they are the ones who were guided to the truth. Why? Because this saying which they say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, to Allah truly we belong and to Him we shall return, together with patience is the hidayah, is the guidance. And there is a point of benefit here. Listen to this verse carefully. Here, أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتٌ مِّن رَبِّهِمْ, those who shall receive a mercy from Allah, and what else? A blessing. Salawat and mercy. And this indicates that the salah from Allah is different from the rahmah. It's different. Because Allah added the rahmah to salawat. And therefore, the salah would mean the mentioning and the praising of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of those who were patient. And that this is different, that the meaning of salah, as said by some go with the saying that the salah of Allah means His rahmah. This verse indicates a difference between the two, that they are different, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala added the rahmah to the salah, and the addition or adjoinment or conjugation al-idafa necessitate distinction in general. And from the benefits here is the affirmation of the attribute of mercy to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that this is a true attribute, a real and true attribute. And we will explain the position of Ahlul Sunnah regarding this great attribute of Allah, mercy, in comparison with the distortive interpretation of this great attribute when we talk about the explanation of the book of Tawheed from Sahih al-Bukhari, as we are going through nowadays, alhamdulillah. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. This brings the end of the explanations of verses 155 till 157. والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.